Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we are so blessed to have the Director of Restorative Justice and Detention Ministry, Fred Lapuza, with us. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
It's so great to have him here. And my lovely bride is with us, too, Marianne Greco. Marianne, welcome.
Thank you.
Fred, I just can't tell you how excited I am to have you on the show. You are one of my heroes. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but being part of detention ministry, now restorative justice and detention ministry, for about 6 years, going through the diaconate program, and then a few years after that, I saw the incredible work that happens when you have volunteers and you have people go and to make a difference for those incarcerated. And this is all about mercy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It makes such a big difference as it relates to being Christ to these people. And so tell us about your background and why you got involved here.
Well, I came to California in 1986, and I entered a seminary, the Trinitarians, Servants of the Most Holy Trinity was the full name for it. And they were involved in detention ministry. One of the priests that we lived in the house with was the chaplain for the jails. And that's how I got involved in the seminarians that were there. Actually, I did not end up going through the program completely and becoming ordained priest. I am married. I have two children. But I was in there for a good period of time where I lived in community, and then I continued with them after I had left the community, involved in their lay missionary work. And one of them was working in the jails and juvenile detention facilities. So that's how I started. And first time I walked into the juvenile facility where I started, it was quite an eye-opener. I kind of went in there with the idea that I was going to bring God to them, to those young folks that were in there, and thinking, knowing how God worked in my life, what he could do to theirs. And actually, when I got in there, I found out that God had beaten me to it. He was already there. He was in the hearts of each one of those young people. And then my challenge became, how do I help them to realize that? Because so many don't.
Well, that is so powerful and so important for people to understand. We're here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, broadcasting about detention and ministry and restorative justice, and really focused on how much we can make a difference in the lives of those incarcerated, in the lives of those who so desperately need our love, and our really hope and reassurance that they are worthy and they are children of God, and their life is worthwhile. And that's a big part of what this restorative justice is all about, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell us more about, again, your own journey. You talked about, you know, what led you to get involved here with this group?
I think some of it had to do with my own background. I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, if anybody's familiar with that. I grew up on the south side. It was one of the oldest neighborhoods. It was a rough neighborhood at times. It was hard to grow up there sometimes. And being exposed to some of the things I was exposed to there, which I think are the same thing a lot of the kids in juvenile hall are exposed to, maybe in a different area, but a lot of the things that they were exposed to, I think I was. And I just felt the light bulb kind of go off. I don't know. I was searching for ministry. I kind of had fallen away from the church during my juvenile years, and I started going back when I got into my mid-20s. And I started to feel a really strong calling to something, and I tried different ministries, and they were all great. But when I found out about this ministry, that just got a hold of me, I was just very compelled to be involved.
What do you like most about it?
I guess just going in there and being with the people, talking with the people in there, it's pretty raw. And as you know, you've experienced some of that. These folks are in there and they're pretty much at the bottom of their life. And just to be able to have them open up and share on some of the deepest levels that I consider very sacred, that they even allow us sometimes to come into their lives and some of the things that they've been through and experienced and talk to us about it and share with us and ask for prayers and just seeing some of the transformation sometimes that happens.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit with Fred Lapuza, who is Director of Restorative Justice and Detention Ministry for the Diocese of Orange. We're here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. I want to keep focusing on mercy because that is such a big part of what happens during restorative justice, is that we demonstrate the mercy of Christ. We let them know how loved they are and how valuable they are. And open up your Bibles to Matthew 25. And again, most of us are familiar with this. At verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, ill and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did you see you as a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them in reply, Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers of mine, you did for me. This is one of the most important ministries that anyone could ever do, my brothers and sisters. And this is being broadcast in the San Diego Diocese and Los Angeles Diocese and Orange Diocese and other points. And it's so important for people to understand that we are being called to make a difference for those that need our help, young men and women, whatever age they may be. And Marianne is here with me. And during the diaconate formation, this is a critical part of the formation and certainly even beyond. And Marianne, you probably represent what many people right now, many of our listeners are thinking is, well, that may be great, but it's not for me. You know, I'm too scared, too frightened. And was this something you fully embraced when we were part of the diaconate formation?
No, they explained it. And, you know, it's a lot of people approach it as, oh, I'm fearful. They've never been in that situation to go inside the jail and be in there. But I went through it. And when you step in and you start meeting the people, you are the one that becomes blessed for it. It's just an incredible experience. But I think many of the people, when they first start, are a little reluctant to do it. And yet, if we just step out of our comfort zone, we realize how much blessing we can have from just meeting these people who are, you know, Jesus to us.
And I have to just say one story, my brothers and sisters, for you to listen to and really reflect upon. I have never seen such love in my life more than when I was part of this ministry, because they love each other. You know, they're the bunkies, right? You know, if they're together.
Cellies
and bunkies. And one of the communion services that we would give, and then we'd pray over people afterwards, I would ask them, what is it that you want me to pray for? And this woman, and we did both men and women separately, but when we were doing a women's group, most of the time the women will pray for children or a husband or children they can't see, and they'll have tears in their eyes, they'll be sad, and that's certainly very powerful in terms of the prayer. But this one woman looks at me and says, I want to pray for my bunkie. Mm-hmm. Who's standing behind me because she has no one to pray for her.
Mm. Wow.
I have never been so moved in my entire life with that level of love. And that's something you see all the time in this ministry, right, Fred?
Yes.
And you know, it's transformative.
Yeah.
Tell us about the word restorative justice. What does that mean?
Yes, because I know we've been talking a lot about detention ministry, and detention ministry has a lot to do with what we do behind the walls. But the ministry has evolved over the years, and and restorative justice is a concept or philosophy that has to do with restoring the harm caused by criminal behavior. And so it shifts the idea from punishment to responsibility, rehabilitation, and restoration. And in doing so, it's holding offenders accountable, even as it opens the path for healing, not just for them, but for victims and for families on both sides. Because a lot of times we don't realize that when a crime is committed, there's so many people that's affected by it. It has such a ripple effect. And it even extends into the criminal justice system. You know, the officers that have to do the arresting and some of the things they have to experience, and their families that are worried about them being out there doing this kind of stuff. So the courts, everything affects a lot of people.
And it's something that is so important for people to understand, that it is complex. But Jesus is the foundation of restoration, correct?
Oh, yes. He's the model. And we even have some other examples like Paul. And so we see these, I see these models in different ways. One of them I see is in symbol, and it's the cross. The cross is our greatest symbol of restoration. Jesus restored us, brought us back with the Father, opened the gates of heaven. The second one I see is in practice. If you look at somebody like Paul, how he evangelized the Gentiles and restoring relationships of all people and not just the certain people. And the third one is in liturgy itself. A lot of times we don't realize that the handshake of peace, which is kind of a warm and kind of cozy thing, it seems like, is in the early church was something that people did when they had some type of issue that they had to reconcile with somebody else. They were to go to that person and offer them peace and reconcile somehow.
We're going to be right back to talk more about restorative justice and what role can you play in making a difference. God bless. Hello everyone, this is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit, beautiful Christ Cathedral. Thank you so much for listening in. And as we really go through this year of mercy, this is all about how much God loves us. And God loves us so, so much that He has allowed us the blessing to minister to those that are hurting, those that are sick, those that are in prison. And we're talking on this show about those incarcerated with Fred Lapuza, Director of Restorative Justice and Detention Ministry for the Diocese of Orange. And Fred, you've been doing this now for how long? How many years?
About 27, going on 28 years now, I believe, yeah.
You
started as a volunteer myself, so.
I have to say unequivocally, he is one of my all-time heroes, you know, in terms of making a difference in so many people's lives and making a difference in my life in terms of how you've approached the love for those that need love, that, you know, and you had mentioned that those incarcerated are often at the very low point of their lives. Mm-hmm. They're feeling hopeless. They're feeling like no one loves them. And you, my brothers and sisters listening in, you're listening in for a reason. You can make a difference. You can make a difference through prayer. Yep. You can make a difference through helping and as a volunteer in some cases, or what are other things that they can do to make a difference?
Well, volunteering, prayer is definitely one of our biggest needs that we have. But other things is maybe just being an advocate. Any of the information that you get off of this show or any other resources or through our website or wherever, and sometimes it's just having conversation with somebody in your community, your neighbor, could be around the dinner table with family, just helping people to realize that these are not throwaway people. There may be some damaged goods there, but they're not throwaway people, and they're people, they're God's children. We talked about why we do this because Jesus tells us to. Scripture tells us to. We have Catholic social teaching. There's two themes that we use in Catholic social teaching. Theme one says the dignity of the human person is the foundation of the moral vision for society. I always kind of look at that, if you've ever heard the phrase that says bad things happen when people stop doing good things, then the society kind of goes downhill from there. And the other theme that we use, theme six, is we are our brothers and sisters' keepers, wherever they may be, even in places like jail.
You know, I had an incredible experience in going to the Philippines, and we went to a jail in Cebu. Mm. And it was quite interesting because the head of the prison had us go out on the floor where they were and minister to them. And of course, at that time, you know, it's a little bit different in terms of the type of environment they had. We were able to really preach to them. There's 800 of them, mm-hmm. and lead them through a sinner's prayer. And one of the things that I've always done as being part of detention ministry is turn to Scripture and open up your Bibles to Ephesians 1. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," in this verse 3 and following, "who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. And he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Christ Jesus in accordance with the favor of his will." And we are chosen before the dawn of time to be holy and without blemish. And this is something I would often preach on with those incarcerated, to let them know that they're chosen to be adopted children, holy, without blemish. And Mary Ann, when you would join me in these various visits, and people would look at you like you were a little bit crazy, but then they began to realize it's because Jesus died on the cross for them and rose again and wiped away any sins that they have. And I would often say to them, we are all sinners. We're all in this together. We're all the same.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You sit there and you start interacting with these people, and you realize they're our brothers and sisters, or they're our sons and daughters. And just as we would help anybody in our family to get on the right track and to pick themselves up if they're not feeling good about themselves or they've done something wrong, that our love flows through us to them. And it's quite an experience for both of us, for the person you're interacting with as well as for us. I think we just feel Christ's love flowing.
And Romans 8, again, is a great chapter to share with anyone, and certainly those incarcerated. "Hence now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. You know, and it goes on further to say that for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It doesn't say that, well, you're only children of God if you're not incarcerated. Yeah. It doesn't say that, you know, and it says later on in chapter 8, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's so important, my brothers and sisters, that we be the hope for those that are in prison. But people can be in prison in a lot of different ways.
That's right.
They can be in prison just by their addictions. They don't have to be behind a cell.
Correct.
They can live in that prison of sin. And it's just so important, again, that all of us are part of this ministry of restorative justice, of making a difference in people's lives. And tell us right now our current environment. California is kind of unique, and which I believe there's probably more incarcerated in California than any other state.
That's correct. Can I just mention one other scripture I just wanted to kind of put
please.
Out there, since you're doing scripture? It's very beautiful. One is in Hebrews chapter 13, and I don't have the verse, but it's, "Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them." So it kind of goes with Matthew 25, I think, kind of hand in hand.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
That's beautiful.
And I heard Pope Francis refer to that in his visit to Mexico here just not too long ago. I don't know. Deacon Martin is one of our staff members that is our programs coordinator, and he was invited to Mexico to go visit the Pope. And it was so crowded every place they went. And so they had screens, he said, all over the place showing the Pope. And he went into one of the prisons down there. I guess it was one of the worst in Juarez, where that's a lot of where the, you know, having a lot of the drug cartel problems. And he said he was in a stadium there, and they had a big screen on, and he saw the Pope. He went into the prison, and he gave about an hour talk. And as he was leaving, they were driving through the yard, and there were prisoners standing out in the yard, and he tapped the driver on the shoulder to stop, and he jumped out of the cart, and he started walking up to a prisoner, and the prisoner said, "I am the worst of all people here." He goes, "I've done things that are just unthinkable." And as the Pope approached him, he fell down on his knees and he began weeping. And the Pope embraced him and he rose him to his feet and he said, "You are a son of God."
Amen. Amen. That is so fantastic. And there is no difference. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the mark. We all need a Savior. Yeah. And it's so important. And the verse that, that Fred was referring to is verse 3. Again, be mindful of prisoners as if sharing their imprisonment and of the ill-treated as yourselves, for you also are in the body. And the first verse in chapter 13 of Hebrews is let mutual love continue. And that is what it's all about, is love.
Yes.
So tell us right now in terms of the state of prisons, jails, California in particular, Orange.
As far as the prisons go, since I don't work there, I can't speak firsthand, but I do try to keep up with things that are going on there. And one of the things that happened a few years ago was the AB 109 realignment. State was under a mandate by the federal government to reduce its population of prisoners. So they made a contract with the county here in Orange County to start sending people back here that only have like 3 to 4 years of their sentencing left. Or if they get sentenced in court to 3 to 4 years, instead of sending them to state prison, they would be spending time in the county. And I think there's some exceptions on both sides of that, but that's what one thing that AB 109 did. And then a couple years ago, Prop 47 was passed, and that was a bill that was supported by the Catholic Conference of Bishops, not to incarcerate as many people, to find alternatives to jail and detention. That bill hasn't won a lot of favor with law enforcement here in the county, but I think it has with the people that are in charge, realizing that we're not going to incarcerate our way out of this situation, that these are folks that can be rehabilitated, there can be help. And obviously, unfortunately, there's some that can't. Some are just going to have to be incarcerated, but there are those who are trustworthy enough and can use that kind of help. So in Orange County now, the population in our juvenile facility has dropped about 75% over the last 2 to 3 years. There's places inside of there now that aren't even being used. So they're relooking at how they're doing detention. And now they're turning more towards programming, those kind of things to keep people out.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So for our listening audience here, and this is again Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit here at beautiful Christ Cathedral with Fred Lapuza, Director of Restorative Justice Detention Ministry for the Diocese of Orange. What's the difference between a jail and a prison?
Well, prison is long-term. Could be life. A jail is all transitionary. They're either going to get out or they're going to go to prison. Keeping in mind that about 95% of people that do go to jail or prison are going to end up getting back out. So that's another reason why it's important to turn towards rehabilitative services, because the jail isn't going to teach them anything except maybe how to be better criminals. You get people sometimes that were arrested for the first time, and they go in, and what's going to happen in there? They're going to be socialized into that environment, and they're going to come back out, and maybe they're going to be better criminals. Hopefully not, but that could be the case. So to get them into programs and services that can help direct them or redirect them has been proven. It has been proven. There's a lot of research that's been done out there that's proven effective, and this is a smarter way to go.
And this is the way to go in putting Christ at the center of it.
For us especially, yes. For anybody, but for us especially, we realize. And I think even the people in corrections, there's Christians, there's Catholics that work in these places and work on the political scene, too. We do work with them. We go to Sacramento. In fact, I'm going up there this month. And we go up there and we do lobby to have changes done to bills, get some bills out there that are going to bring rehabilitative services and help these people. So, yes, especially for us, this is the way to go.
We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk more about what is the Catholic Ministry of Restorative Justice and Detention Ministry. What can you do about it? How can you join it and volunteer? And what is the training like? And in this year of mercy, you can and will make a difference by what you do for those who are incarcerated. God bless you. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here with Fred Lapuza, Director of Restorative Justice and Detention Ministry from the Orange Diocese, and Marianne Greco. And Marianne, at the break, you were telling us that this show is empowered by the Spirit. And when the Spirit moves in our ministries, restorative justice, when we're visiting those that are incarcerated, spreading the Word of God, giving them hope and giving them Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in the middle of it.
Yes, I think we really have to listen to the Spirit when it speaks to us to listen. I mean, sometimes it's that little nudge that the Holy Spirit says, get out of your comfort zone, go help someone. Sometimes we think, oh, I could not possibly love that person I don't know. Well, you know, that's when we pray to the Holy Spirit to give us the power to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us so that we can love that person and help that person. So I think it's really important to bring the Holy Spirit along with you and call upon him as you are approaching this ministry.
It is so critical to have the Holy Spirit and have Jesus at the center of what we do. And that's why this is a Catholic ministry. I mean, I'm sure there are other restorative justice ministries or detention ministries that are not Catholic or maybe not even Christian. But what makes the Catholic ministry, what makes it a Catholic ministry? What is this all about?
Well, I think some of the things we kind of already mentioned, and traditionally we had adhered to the scriptures and the command that Jesus gave us to visit people, and our social justice themes coming from the bishop's documents on restorative justice, but in social justice in general. But just the fact that we don't see people, again, as being people that are bad. They've done some bad things, but that doesn't necessarily make them bad. They're still good people. They're people that were created in the image and likeness of God. And that alone is reason, I think, for us to bring that love in. And then just the Catholic services that we provide inside of the facilities. These are Catholic. We have Catholic communion services that our lay people do. Our lay volunteers, because we don't have enough priests. We have about, approximately 130 services a week that go on. Biggest percentage of those being communion services. And then we have some Bible studies, one-to-one pastoral visits. We have a full-time chaplain, Father Francis Ng, that comes in and hears confessions mostly. And does mass too, but the confession is the biggest demand. So those are some, common or traditional things that we do as Catholics going in.
And it's so important. And during diaconate formation, again, that the deacons were part of this for several years and beyond. And it's so critical. Now, my brothers and sisters were here on Empowered by the Spirit at Christ Cathedral. Again, talking about restorative justice with Fred Lapuza, Director of Restorative Justice and Detention Ministry. There's a reason you're listening in. God prompted you to listen in to this show. And remember John 15:16, it is not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit that remains, so that whatever you ask of the Father, he may give you. You are being called right now to make a difference with restorative justice. You can make a difference in prayer. You can make a difference in volunteering and perhaps just supporting the themes that we're trying to do as part of restorative justice. But what can they do as a volunteer? Because the volunteers are a core foundation of what this ministry is about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just couldn't happen without them. We have about 300 of them in four different languages. God bless every one of them. But it just couldn't happen without them. So volunteering, they could come in and help lead communion services. We do provide training for the different areas of ministry, whether they're leading a Bible study or doing a communion service or the one-to-one pastoral visit. We provide the training, and then we do require that our volunteers be certified with the diocese through the IPM office or Institute for Pastoral Ministry, where they get basic lay ministry catechetical certification. So at least they have some formal current basic knowledge of faith when they come in. And then we do what they call the methodology or the training of how they do it when they get inside of the facilities. And I wanted to mention something that Mary Ann, when she was talking about the Spirit, I find, and I think the volunteers would probably agree, that we go into these facilities and we have a short amount of time with them, maybe an hour with them. And then you kind of walk out and you go home in our world, and we leave them behind in their world. Without the Holy Spirit, I couldn't survive. I can't. I mean, we walk out of there and we have to leave it up to the Holy Spirit from there to do the work. or every once in a while I have people that'll call and say, oh, I can't make it to my service. I'm sick or something's going on. I'm so worried, because I tell them not to worry, because if we can't get somebody to go in and fill, or if one of our staff can't do it themselves, then we know that the Holy Spirit works in our absence as well as our presence. And we have to be very dependent on the Holy Spirit to do this ministry.
You know, Fred, I was thinking a lot of times when we speak to the people, we find out a lot of them say, well, I'm Catholic, but I haven't been to church for years.
That's right.
It's a big need. All of a sudden, you know, they find themselves incarcerated and there's a reason to call upon their faith again. And so it's a time where they're revisiting this faith, and we bring that to them and get them started in that part of their journey.
That's correct. Yeah. I had a person come in. I remember one time, actually it's been more than one, but one that pops in my mind in particular, he says, I've never been to anything that has to do with church. And this was his first time, was
wow.
in jail. And he had a Bible in his hand. It was the first time he'd ever picked up a Bible. So
tell us more about the training. And if I'm listening in and perhaps I don't feel like I'm worthy or that I know enough about my faith to be able to do this. And, you know, you had mentioned a little bit about that core foundation, but we don't necessarily recommend that they go in by themselves anyway, correct? I mean, they usually have a partner and a team that kind of can help each other.
Oh, that's correct. So what we do in the office is what I call the in-house training. And then after the in-house training, they go into the facility and they do what we call the on-site training. So where we put them with the veteran volunteer. Oftentimes, one of our staff will escort them in the first time and then have them meet with the volunteer and then start partnering with that volunteer until they're comfortable. Some of them, we have a very, very rare few that stay on that will just do helpers. They'll go in and hand out the papers and make sure and maybe help lead in songs and things like that. But most of the time, they start getting pretty comfortable and take on a leadership role themselves where they're actually leading that service.
I think that's because you get so excited about when you get in there, you realize how important it is and what a Correct. Blessing it is, that it just grows within you. You can't help but move into a higher.
You know, Marianne, one of the important things, this is so important, my brothers and sisters, for you to listen to this. Marianne wasn't exactly embracing it and usually even from the beginning where there was a fear factor, and I want to talk about that because that's a big issue for a lot of people, where they feel something may happen to me. But besides the fear factor is, you know, it just was not something that you were comfortable with in the beginning. But every single time we would go, what would you say afterwards?
I'm glad I came. This has just been an incredible experience. You feel the love. But each time it's hard sometimes for me. I'm not as outgoing as you are, Steve. And so for me, at first, it's out of my comfort zone. But once I step in there, you know you're supposed to be there. And you know that the Lord is with you and you're sharing. And these people, like I said, can be your daughters and your sons.
That's right.
And so many of them look like our daughters and sons,
yeah. You
know, and so many are in for drug offenses and they're
That's
young,
correct, yeah.
and they're young and like Muzak in Irvine,
yeah.
you know, they could be our son, could be our daughter that just, they went slightly wrong and there they were. And they need to know their life's not over.
Or they are community members too. A lot of these people are people from our communities. I've heard people say that we're the largest parish in the diocese. Sometimes I don't consider a forced environment, necessarily a community or parish in that regard. But there are people there from all of our churches, I would say, between the juvenile and the adult. You know, the Orange County has the eighth largest jail system in the country. So it is very large. It's larger than people might realize. We also have the sixth largest court system in the country. So you can imagine how active that our court system is in either incarcerating people or not. There's a lot of people there from that are might be sitting in the pews to us on Sunday sometimes.
So one of the elephants in the room, again, is this fear of the unknown, fear
yeah.
of, you know, I'm going inside a prison. Something is closing behind me. That door
yeah.
is closing. That cell is closing behind me. And you know, what would you say to those listeners right now that are saying, I just don't know if I could do this inside of a prison?
That's a legitimate fear. I think anybody would have. So I think going in, especially the first time, there's some nervousness to it. I think it's a natural thing. But after you get in there, you start to see that it's not what you think. I've even had people say, couple times people have said, well, they were like nicely groomed and yeah, they didn't have fangs and they didn't have horns on their
exactly.
head and things like that. And I think a lot of that is the media, things that the media has put in, images media has put in our mind. But it's not like that. And usually you get comfortable after a while.
And safety is really not an issue.
Well, I don't want to say that it's totally not, but because you are, you know, we have to be aware of who this population is and, you know, things could happen. But I think the facilities and the people that run them, which is in the juvenile Orange County Probation Department, on the adult side, Orange County Sheriff's Department, they do a very good job of screening the people that they allow out for services or ones that can be together. And they're there. They're there all the time. They're watching. They're there if anything happens. And fortunately, nothing's ever happened at our services in all the 27 years that I've been that I'm aware of. But there have been things that happened inside of the facilities, and the staff do a really good job of getting it under control.
You know, one of the things that strikes me, Fred, is that you go for a communion service, and they are so grateful that you're there.
Oh, yeah.
They have been waiting, and not all of them get chosen to come to the service.
That's correct.
And so they really see it as a privilege, and you just feel like you're serving these people who are just hungry and thirsty to hear God's word and to be prayed for. It's an incredible. We take it for granted when we go to church every Sunday, but they don't get it. And yeah. So it's quite a privilege for them.
We're here in Empowered by the Spirit talking about restorative justice and how you can make a difference. We're going to be right back to learn more about that and just how do you sign up and really the part that you will play in making a difference in this year of mercy. God bless. Everyone, this is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Fred Lapuza, Director of Restorative Justice and Detention Ministry, and Marianne Greco, my lovely bride. And we're talking about restorative justice / detention ministry in the Diocese of Orange and how you can make a difference. And we've talked about, you know, the training that we've had. Now, when they are called, and many of you are right now being called, how do they sign up? How do they contact you?
First, they can go to our website, which is www.rcbo, that's like Roman Catholic Bishop Orange, .org, /restore. And once they get on our website, at the bottom of the screen, there's a place that they can click and they can RSVP to come to one of our overview presentations. If that doesn't work, they can simply call us at 714-282-4261 and say that they want to RSVP to come to one of our overview presentations. We have them bi-monthly and they come in. It's about an hour and a half presentation. They find out about the ministry. They can ask questions and then what the next step is to doing that. And there is a clearance and background check they'll have to go through the agency depending on what a facility they're going to be working in. And then we schedule their training and the agency will also have an orientation that they'll have to do as well.
And this is something, again, my brothers and sisters, that pray about. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the power of the Holy Spirit just fill you with the love of Christ. And one of the things that is so important is to understand how you can make a difference. And you were telling us some stories at the break and in which the volunteers made a huge difference in some lives and many, many lives, but two stories in particular. And tell us those stories.
Yeah. One of them was I had a man come to my office actually just about a week ago. And he wanted to interview me about a paper he was writing for a college course he was taking. Well, he shared his story with me. When he was 16 years old, he was a gang member in Santa Ana. When he was 16 years old, he got in a gang fight and he murdered another young man his age. He was tried as an adult and he was sent to prison. I believe was on a life sentence. And after a seventh parole hearing, he was granted parole. And so now he's got a full-time job. And he's he finished more than 50% of his 5-year parole. He's got a full-time job and he's going to college and he wants to be a drug and alcohol counselor. He said when he shot the young man, he was very high on PCP, which is a really powerful hallucinogenic drug. And he wants to help people to get off drugs and alcohol. And he said, when the teacher said we had to write a paper, he said, the first thing I thought about was Catholic detention ministry, restorative justice. He says, because you guys changed my life. your volunteers that came in and did your services and the restorative justice parts. He said, you guys really changed my life. That's what I want to write my paper about.
Fantastic.
We don't always get to hear these stories. You know, we leave the facilities and sometimes we never see these folks again. And so to have that, it's a very grace-filled opportunity. And then the second story was about volunteers. And I even know from experience, being a volunteer for a long time, sometimes discouragement starts seeping in. You start wondering, am I making a difference here? You know, again, you don't get to see these people after they get out. You don't get to see what the results of sometimes what we do. And not that volunteers are looking for that, but it's just a human nature, I think, to start feeling that way at some point. So I had a call from, it was a husband and wife volunteer, and I had a call from the wife on a Monday. And she said, you know, Fred, I was calling you to tell you that my husband and I were going to resign from the ministry. We just didn't know if we're making a difference anymore. So yesterday was what we thought was going to be our last service until on our way home, we stopped at a Home Depot, went in, did some shopping, came out, and we heard somebody yelling at us across the parking lot. And we turned to see a young man running towards us. And he called out our names and he says, I thought I'd never see you guys or find you guys. He said, but I just wanted to tell you that I was in juvenile hall and you guys were coming in doing services and you changed my life. The ministry changed my life. And he said, and I'm manager of this store now.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So she said,
hallelujah.
So she said, so my call originally was going to be to tell you I resigned. But after that, said the Holy Spirit is telling us something different. We need to keep doing this. And I can say today they're still doing it. So.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, you make a difference when you say yes to Jesus, yes to what he's calling you to. And restorative justice and detention ministry is just a huge part of our responsibility. Catholic social teaching, the scriptures as we read in Matthew 25 and in Hebrews 13, such a huge difference. And I know you are thinking to yourself, is this for me? Well, keep praying about it. Maybe investigate it. Go to a program and just see an orientation and then pray about and decide. And my guess is this is also similar in other dioceses because, again, this show is in a number of different dioceses. And I would imagine either calling up the diocese, going to the website, and my guess is restorative justice is listed on every diocese website, and they can follow
correct.
Up with that.
That's correct.
And so tell us again how you work with other dioceses, and you were saying in terms of your office and getting together and trying to make a difference from a social justice standpoint with bills and so forth. And tell us more about that, too.
Yes. Well, the Catholic Conference of Bishops have written documents on restorative justice, and you can get those online, I think, or at one of the Catholic bookstores as well. But about a couple times a year, we meet up in Santa Cruz with the directors from the other offices of restorative justice throughout the diocese. There's about 13 dioceses throughout the state. And so we get most people show up for these meetings. And at these meetings, we talk about what's going on in our diocese. But one of the things that we come together for, too, is about, like I think it was 2012, the National Council of Bishops allocated funds to California Conference of Bishops to use towards restorative justice projects. And Orange County was one of the dioceses that gets those funds for doing projects. So we started some projects. And then when we meet in these gatherings, we give results and we have to turn in reports and things about what these projects are doing. So that's been kind of a thing that we're doing outside of the walls that's made quite an impact in communities and with families.
Now, is this the Catholic Campaign for Human Development?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, great, super. And what would be something that has changed as a result of that project?
I just wanted to say, too, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development funds the programs, but I need to also mention that the Pastoral Services Appeal at the diocese is which actually funds our office and our ministry.
Excellent.
And that's really the bigger funding that we get from, well, maybe some of you that are listening out there or other people. So just wanted to kind of throw a little shout out for that without your donations that you put in that PSA envelope in the parishes, this ministry would not be possible. And as I always say out there, there's a, you're not spending money, but you're investing money into the lives of people.
So. Amen. And making a difference in their lives for their entire life. And so what's been some of the fruits that have come out of this project?
Well, some of the things, probably one of the, I think, most successful have been a program called Padres Unidos. It's a nonprofit. They partner with Chapman University and the School of Education, mostly in areas of social services. And they come in and provide parent classes. Actually, we have a class inside a juvenile hall. So when the parents come to visit their children that are in there, then they can come to the class afterwards. Classes are 6 months long, and we get about usually between 60 to 80 parents that show up for these classes. Some are single parents, and some are not. And they're given a lot of skills on how to do responsible parenting. And then there's a part where the kids actually come in and they interact and they actually put their skills into practice that are there. And there, we also have them going on in two parish communities, San Felipe de Jesus down in South County. And then we have another one at La Purisima in Orange. And we had one in St. Boniface and St. Cecilia's in prior years.
Before we close, Fred, is there a message you'd like to give to our listeners regarding restorative justice as just kind of a summary of what we've talked about?
Well, I guess the message is just what the scriptures calls us to. And I mean, we've shared some experiences here, hopefully, that are sending out messages that, and I understand not everybody would be called to this ministry. Everybody's called to certain ministries that were God. I hope everybody feels called to something. but if it's not this ministry, again, just to be advocates, to learn about these things so that if you are in conversation with people that you can talk about it. Maybe you don't feel called to something like this, but hey, maybe you know somebody that does. And maybe you want to say, hey, because we've had this happen before. In fact, a lot of the people that we get referrals oftentimes come from the deacons. They share about their experience in their homilies at Mass. And so people, when we call up, we always ask them, well, how did you find out about us? They say, oh, I heard the deacon talking at Mass, and it just interested me. So those are some great ways to do that.
And as we look at stewardship, time, talent, and treasure, certainly you mentioned the PSA as it relates to treasure, you know, supporting the PSA in terms of donations, the time in terms of volunteer, the talent could be a variety of different ways of utilizing your talents and that you have in order to make a difference in this ministry or certainly other ministries.
Yes.
So thank you so much for being on the show, Fred.
Thank you, Steve. It was good to be here.
It's an honor to see you again. And Marianne, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you and worship you. And we thank you, Lord God, for calling us to make a difference for your people, to build up your kingdom, to make a difference for those in jails and prisons, those incarcerated, to love them with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength with your love, to make a difference in volunteering, to make a difference in prayer. Open up our ears, eyes, and heart in this year of mercy to truly have a compassionate heart, to have a heart of service, to work out the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy, to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And we ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' holy name. And I bless all of you, your families, and your loved ones, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.